I'm what, sorry. What? I've got to say, this is a great start to a podcast. So today, Ralph is dressed appropriately for what we are going to be talking about today, or half of what we're going to be talking about today. Shall we start talking about that, Ralph? I mean, for those who are not watching, go on.
First of all, I wish to say that surely I do not know why you're laughing.
Yeah.
I feel ridiculed, but please carry on with the podcast. Try to be more professional.
Yes, I will try my level best, sir. Thank you very much indeed for, as always, for coming on this. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's wonderful.
So anyway, so there's two things that we're going to be talking about this week. First of all, we are going to be talking about electricity rationing, which is clearly why Ralph is wearing a blanket and has a hat on at the moment. And the other thing we're going to be talking about today is Robin Hood. And we're not talking about the bloke in green tights and, who's quite good at archery. We're talking about Robin Hood, the trading platform. So, for the first topic of conversation, what do you want to say about electricity and the prospect of electricity rationing?
Well, no, I can't contain myself. Well, basically what we're talking about here is electricity rationing and the impact that it will have on consumers in terms of consumers being basically going to try and identify how they can keep costs down and what they can do instead. But yes. I would maybe urge you to lead into this because I have to remove these items of clothing
because
I have to say it's actually working very well. So if anybody wishes to receive a money-saving tip for the winter,
yes, definitely wear a blanket.
Your skiing gear out. Anyway, go.
So basically the reason why we were inspired to do this is because there's been a lot of talk this week about electricity rationing. We've had France doing it. Japan has asked as well. National Grid is talking about, making preparations for energy saving. Now, the fact of the matter is, I think here in the UK, it doesn't feel real at the moment because the weather is okay. Generally speaking in the UK, I think there's probably maybe 1 or 2 weeks, possibly during the entire year, where, you think, oh, I wish I had air conditioning. But generally speaking, apart from that, we just don't really need it enough. Now, I would have thought conversely that Japan is really feeling it at the moment. And the reason being is that when I used to live there, I remember it was regularly in, say, July, August time, it was usually kind of 35, 40 degrees and 80 to 100% humidity. And it was extremely unpleasant. Mm. I did used to go to the mall. One of the reasons being because it was like walking into a fridge. So it was fantastic to actually do something like that. Whereas, of course, now if they're the onus is to actually either not use air conditioning or to mean that it's like, instead of it being, say, 20 degrees or something, it being 28 or 29 or something like that. So anyway, I do think that it is interesting. It doesn't feel real to us yet, but it will do. And I think that obviously when I'm saying it will feel real, it's in our case not going to be air conditioning. It's going to be heating, hence your previous attire. What do you think about that though, Ralph?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we're going to talk about this in two stages, basically. I mean, the first bit is actually seeing tendencies now for national governments actually advising the citizens that electricity rationing is going to be something that is going to come. Mm-hmm. And as you rightly say, I mean, at the moment, everybody's like, yeah, right, sure, whatever. Mm. But that's just because we happen to have a nice summer at the moment. Mm. Come winter, October, certainly November, people are going to have to switch the heating on. And given where electricity prices are already, and they're going to go up further, given how we got here, which is, of course, supply chain interruptions even before the Ukrainian crisis. We know this, but clearly the Ukraine, Russia's invasion of the Ukraine is adding material pain to this situation. National governments are going to emancipate themselves from Russia. And we hear that from Germany even, that they're going to cut their 40% dependency to something like 20%. And that is not going to be possible without, well, pain. And the pain is not going to be absorbed entirely by industry. Just as a snippet there, BASF, the German chemical plant, chemical company, its plant in Leverkusen, I think, is set to consume as much electricity in a year as the entire country of Denmark. Now, I haven't fact-checked that, but I wouldn't be surprised
amazing,
if the magnitudes are much off. And so it just highlights how much industrialized countries are actually dependent on the provision of electricity. Once that is in short supply, either because Russia self-sanctions, effectively by threatening to cut it off, or countries are not using it anymore in order to emancipate themselves, clearly electricity prices are going to grow further. And we've discussed that before. I mean, the leverage and the dynamics are clear. If your discretionary income is, I'm going to invent something now, let's say 50 quid a month or 100, then very obviously, if your electricity bill goes up by 1,500 quid a year, then this is going to mean that you cannot actually save anything up anymore a month. And these are, I'm guessing, people who are average. I mean, these are not people who are specifically well off, and there are people who are less well off. So to highlight that last point, I remember this tragic news story about a month ago, focusing on a pensioner in the north of England who was going around on the bus basically all day long because the bus was heated in a sort of reversal of your story about going to the mall in Japan to actually benefit from the air conditioned environment. And that may sound absurd, but it is going to be the reality of some of us, but of all of us in some form come winter. And that sort of leads me into the next point, which I wanted to sort of ask your point on. What can we do? I mean, there's something which all of us will want to do, and that's obviously we're going to save costs where we can. But what can we do? I mean, there's one thing which always amazes me when I look outside the window, and also when I was working late. So all around me in the city of London, there was emblazoned lights from the offices who never switched off. They run 24/7, but they run all night. And so maybe, I don't know, what do you think? I mean, is there something going to come? Is there going to increase pressure on industry? We're going to talk about retail customers next, but industry to ration electricity, which should support an equal, which should go in the same direction as their corporate's requirement to save expenses.
I agree. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, so just for fullness, so people know, Ralph lives in the vicinity of Canary Wharf, and so obviously when you look out of your window, you can see all these lights everywhere. And I think that, yes, it is always a bit of a mystery. And yes, of course, you know, cleaners go in late, you know, when most of the staff have gone. So that makes sense. I mean, obviously you're going to be using, vacuum cleaners and things like that. But do you need to have all the lights on in the whole building? Probably not. And so I think that there's going to be, you know, they're going to be doing things like they're going to be probably cutting down on that kind of stuff. Now, I mean, I did have a bit of a stupid idea, which I suggested to Ralph earlier, but I think I'll tell you, and so you can have a good laugh as well, is that I just wonder whether you could actually use this phenomenon as well as the phenomenon of people, you know, trying to ease up on mental health, maybe to try to get a better work-life balance, etc., is if companies could dress this up and say, well, look, what we're going to do is we're going to switch off the lights at 7 o'clock, let's say, in the evening. And so everyone's got to be out of the building unless you've got a good reason to be in there. And I think what that will do is it will make people try and leave the office at 7 o'clock. Now, whether or not whether people are in the office till 7 o'clock, that's not all professions. But the other thing as well is that what that I reckon will end up doing, cynically speaking, is it means that people will go home and they'll log on at home and carry on working, which means that it will be them paying the electricity bill, not the company. So, you know, I mean, I don't know whether, I thought that you could kill two birds with one stone there. Like I say, from an HR point of view, you could say that you're helping people to work more efficiently and have a better work-life balance, but also you're doing that at the same time as saving the company's electricity bill. But what do you think of that, Ralph?
No, yeah, well, quite. I mean, we've both worked in a sort of industry which was quite, let's say, labor intensive. You know,
yes,
I've been on the floor many times after.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
The trading floor. Yeah, I've gone.
The trading floor.
Yeah.
Many times after 12 o'clock at night, and sometimes I was on my own. Sometimes there were like five people in the office, and as they moved around, they triggered the motion sensor for the lights, and so I can sort of understand that the lights are on all night, but not all lights can be on all night long, and that's sort of what I experience here where I live, and that's what what I experienced when I sort of pulled all-nighters in the city. Now, that's odd to me, because at a time where the governments are now increasing to make comments directed at a national effort of energy saving, that would appear to me to be one easy target. So moving on to what you were saying, basically to institute certain work policies. Now, again, that should also be relatively easy when the sign of the times are COVID has taught all of us that it is possible to work from home more flexibly. And companies are certainly wanting to encourage that because it is effectively outsourcing of an overhead item. So if a company can basically say, everybody, I'm going to exaggerate this now, everybody work at home all the time, and they can also get out of a long lease for their office space, then basically what they're doing is to outsource this item and transfer it to the employees. Now, I've been long wondering at what point somebody is going to bring a class action lawsuit saying just that, saying that I'm asked to work from home. In the process, I'm giving up, inventing something, 25% of my accommodation space, which is increasing, you know, which is putting pressure on my domestic bliss to some extent. And I'm not actually getting any money for it. There will be maybe an offsetting mechanism because you don't have to commute, but not all people have to commute. So I think that the sign of the times here are indeed that companies are going to increasingly look for ways in which they can save money, in which they can perhaps transfer an overhead item to their employees, and this will sort of balance out and bed down to some sort of comfort level in the future. But it is all going to be driven by increase in inflation, and that's set to continue.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's a very interesting way of thinking about it, actually. So yeah, but I think there are other ways as well that we can try to cut down on our electricity use. And
yes,
again, this is another harebrained scheme of mine, which is I can really imagine that there will be some sort of very good, a national kind of TV campaign whereby the government is going to say, wear another layer, you know, do your bit for the country. You know, don't switch the heating on yet, or, you know, don't change your thermostat, wear another layer. And then I think they're going to be encouraging people to buy thermal underwear, wear a jumper, you know, that sort of thing, instead of, you know, wandering around in a bikini around your around your flat.
Don't know what these guys do in your house.
I mean, that's, I was going to say, that's what I do. So, but yeah, I mean, I do think that any kind of, I mean, this sounds silly, but you know, if I was a stockbroker right now, this is the sort of thing probably that I would be thinking about. Is like going, okay, well, what companies sell thermal underwear? You know, which ones? You know, where? What? What's their exposure? Right? Is it, you know, in terms of what, you know, what they sell and all that kind of thing. Now, there will be different ones. There'll be like I think that Uniqlo, for instance, which is owned by the Japanese company Fast Retailing. It's been long known for doing a lot of things in, like, you know, textile technology and being at the forefront. There was, I don't know if it still is now, but, you know, there was this stuff called Heat Tech, which was enormously popular because it was, you know, really good quality in terms of the heat, you know, capabilities and things. Mm. And it was quite cheap. So, again, I wonder whether we are going to see suddenly a big uptick in people buying stuff like that. And there will be other, you know, I think companies that maybe specialize in like merino wool, yeah, stuff made of merino wool, which is excellent, by the way, in terms of thermal properties. And I also would say bamboo as well, because bamboo also has those properties. And at this point, I just quickly wanted to mention, there's this company called BAM Clothing, right, that I get a pair of socks from them for free every 3 months. I can almost map out my entire year in terms of socks from this company, right, because every time I get this letter in the post and it's got a pair of socks in, and it will say, hi, we're from BAM Clothing and thank you very much for your custom in the past. By the way, I reckon I must have ordered like some boxer shorts from them or something, maybe like 5 years ago or even more than that. And they just keep sending me socks. I'm not interested. I'm not a massive fan of their socks, but they keep sending them anyway. Now, you know, the thing is, anyway, I think maybe they're going to start doing well because of their thermal. But, you know, do you know, see what I mean? But, you know, I do think that there'll be shops, apparel retailers and stuff that sell that kind of, you know, outdoors type gear. And they're going to do quite well, so exactly. You know, from this. But exactly. I mean, that's clearly your blanket and your hat
that's
and everything.
That's the blanket and the hat, and well, of course, that was supposed to be amusing.
Yes. But there and is it was. I'd give you a solid 8 out of 10 on that one.
it was funny.
Maybe not even a 9. Maybe even a 9. Yeah. So anyway, carry on. Yeah.
I'm going to make that a habit. Every week, I'm going to wear an unusual piece of clothing. Anyway,
idea.
Where was I? Yes, it was warm. My blanket and my hat, they were warm.
Yes.
And so it clearly works. And I'm a skier, not a very good one, clearly, because you guys know that I hurt my knee. But the thermal
you were
underwear...
You going pretty
which,
fast at the time, though. Let's
yeah, well, too fast for me. Anyway, yeah. But the point is that if you have got this underwear from sorts of outdoors activity which you might be doing, skiing, hiking, rock climbing, whatever it is, the merino wool underwear, for example, is brilliant. It's also light wearing, and you can wear it around the house.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that people who have that sort of stuff already will resort to it. And I can tell you I will, because, I mean, why would I want to pay the high electricity bills if I can just basically say, okay, I'm going to turn the thermostat down a few notches and walk around not in a mankini, as you probably allege I might in summer, but in the merino wool underwear.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff as well. Now, you still wonder what people are going to do who are less well off, but and you know, those who are well off may find this relatively painless. It is just a little bit of a weird way of living. Those who are not well off, unfortunately, will have to suffer the hardship and sit around in the house with blankets. It is a way to weather this storm, but I'm afraid that's going to be happening for all of us. On a funny anecdote, maybe, which is also to say why everybody hates stockbrokers. I remember this incident when there was a failure of our air conditioning, and there was one particular person who worked on the sales force who was also known to be stroppy, let's say, and he was sitting just underneath an air vent, and the air vent was pumping cold air on him all day long. And so he said to HR, "This is ridiculous, and I can't work under these circumstances, fix it." But it couldn't be fixed. And so apparently HR made a snippy comment to him and said, "Well, bring in a jumper." And that was the wrong thing to say to this guy, because he went out, purchased a 200 quid cashmere jumper and expensed it.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Mind you, though, I don't know whether he got away with it or not.
Yeah.
But anyway,
mind you,
so...
though, there was someone I do remember, and you might have heard this one, about, yes, the someone who I can't, I won't be too specific with, was always overheating. So the opposite problem.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And they were sitting underneath the aircon, and they also had cold air blowing from underneath the desk as well. Yeah. I mean, that was quite amazing. But anyway, yeah. that's another story for
Absolutely.
Another day.
So just back on this, I do think electricity rationing is going to come in. It is going to be, as you said, probably something which is in the public pronouncements of governments as a sort of suggestion to the public to do so. But I don't think it's going to take very much to convince the public to do so, because it's in our own interest to do this. And there's going to be, as we said, a lot of ways to do it. In terms of the economy, in terms of businesses, I think those retailers are going to be given a little bit of a boost by this, who are selling this type of clothing. So that's one fringe benefit of the situation we're in.
Absolutely. So there we go. So, okay, so let's move on to the next thing. Now, I thought this was a really interesting story this week. We had Robinhood, which is a sort of trading platform app thing. Well known in the US, or infamous maybe in the US. It was going to come over here, but it didn't. It was going to come over here, I think, in during the lockdown. Everyone was getting very excited about, investors getting very excited about it, because there was a cryptocurrency platform, trading platform called FTX, which was rumored by Bloomberg to be interested in buying Robinhood. Now, at the time, I think I said this in the podcast at the time, I thought two wrongs don't make a right, and I thought that, you know, this would not be a good idea, although actually I think that it would be a better idea, it wouldn't be a bad idea, if a grown-up company like a bank or maybe an investment manager actually bought Robinhood, because it would be interesting, because Robinhood presumably has a relatively younger user base, which could then, you know, turn into potential customers for that bank or for that investment manager. Now, the sort of analogy I drew of that is that there are other publications. I mean, I know that this is incredible to even believe, but there are other publications other than Watson's Daily that cover, you know, business news and financial markets. Now, another one that's often quoted is Finamize. Now, I think Finamize, it seems to me, is pretty reasonable, but I would say that they are very much, say, day trader kind of oriented. You know, they're more of compared to Watson's Daily. So Watson's Daily is all about education and getting people to understand all this stuff. Whereas I think that Finamize does try to do that, but with a view to helping people to learn how to trade, giving them trading ideas, how to respond to different market conditions. So, that was bought by Aberdeen, the investment management company. And I suspect that that was all about Aberdeen essentially buying the customer base of Finamize. Now, I don't know, because I'm not privy to the whole kind of strategy or anything, but I wonder whether they bought them for just purely for the investor base or the user base, or whether they were going to integrate some kind of, you know, research capability, trading capability or something. I don't know. I mean, they I would have thought they should, but whether or not that will actually work like that, or whether they'll just chop all the you know, the Finimize analysts and then just use their own also. I don't know. I don't know. But my point of that is, you know, that has precedent, and maybe sort of banks or investment, you know, management companies may look at this and think, yeah, okay, Robinhood didn't go to FTX, but maybe this has put it into play. But what do you think of that as an actual idea, you know, in terms of, do you think that's a good idea, is it good in theory? What do you reckon?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer, because we need to almost analyze a little bit the sector in which these businesses are trading. Mm. I mean, we know that as a general theme, if you look back 30 years, you basically had high street banks and investment banks, and that's basically it. And the customer, like a retail customer, would interact with high street retail banks pretty much. This has changed because of the impact of challenger banks in the UK, businesses which are smaller, which have one particular perceived KPI, key selling point, particular technological capabilities which attack often only one perceived weakness in the business model of the large banks. Mm. And there are many of these, and this also exists, the dynamic of this trend clearly also exists in a more focused segment of the financial markets, and that is trading, stockbroking, which is where Robin Hood sits. And when you look at these, there's one common theme, at least it seems to me, and that is that these businesses are trying to get away from a high commission, high cost model and offer the services, access to stock exchanges, access to trading and execution for either no commission or very little commission. And that's sort of like, as an aside, there's a similar sort of idea. Then if you remember, there used to be lots of newspapers, and now some of these newspapers are actually free. You can purchase them for no money. So that's the analogy to no commission. These newspapers make their money from advertisements, and that is a business model which has proven to be able to support itself. So moving back from this analogy, I think Robin Hood, I think you suggested this to me, Robin Hood may be making money by selling the flow. And flow is a sort of jargon word, which means that Robin Hood is collecting lots and lots of trades. And before they are executing them, they bundle them together in accordance with certain criteria, and then sell that bundle of trades to a company with execution capabilities. And that is how the value chain is basically broken up. And effectively, Robin Hood is a business that sources trades and sells them on to large-scale providers. Now, once we are there in the analysis, it's sort of starting to make a little bit of sense, I guess, for one of these large scale providers to integrate vertically and purchase such a business. Because previously I actually have to pay money to buy the flow. If they own Robinhood or a business of such like, they would still sort of in the sense of good bookkeeping, internal bookkeeping, they would still need to pay an internal fee to what now is the Robinhood department of the larger entity, but that is what it would be. So the company can offer, the now large, enlarged company can offer all these businesses, they reach different segments in the customer base, and Robinhood clearly has a viable business proposition which survives. So final point on this, I wonder where this is going. And I wonder whether that is just an intermittent step in the long run. And I don't know how long the long run is actually going to be. But let me invent a number. Let's say a decade. So these kind of businesses are still offering viable propositions or business propositions to the customer for the next decade. Because if all I'm doing is to allow people to trade commission-free, then if we ever get to a point where blockchain-enabled DeFi, decentralized finance, is something that is a commoditized product, which is something that people can actually use, then you would think that any sort of intermediary will disappear. So so this is a stage where intermediaries are still present, they still offer a service, but they're going to offer this at less and less cost to the customer. So for now, I think it's a viable business proposition. It's probably going to be a trend to purchase these type of specific focused businesses.
No, indeed. I mean, like I say, when I saw it, I thought it was a very interesting trade. I mean, and of course, it's a lot more attractive now because it's fallen a great deal from its IPO price. So, you know, given the environment at the moment, you could argue that they are at a much more attractive level for, say, bank, insurance company, investment manager, whatever, to come along and actually buy. And, you know, in terms of you could make money out of it in different ways. You know, like Flow, you could buy Flow, which is good and is useful. You know, they could use that to trade themselves. But there are other things. I mean, you could use the platform to trade different, different instruments and things. So, I think there's a lot to be said for it. But obviously we'll just have to see. But I think that the FTX thing puts it into play, in my opinion. It just puts it on everyone's radar. So it'd be interesting to see whether anyone does actually come along and hoover it up. Only time will tell on that front.
Well, there's one other thing, which is you mentioned the analogy from your world of business where you sit in. And it may also be a means of accessing the customer base, which is the customer base of Robinhood. There again, I have a question mark. How so transient is this customer base going to be? I mean, why would you necessarily trade with Robinhood and not with somebody else? You're not going to do this just simply because of kudos. I know these are more like Gen Z, which is likely to be the customer of these type of businesses because it's cool, but that's not enough. In the end, businesses have to have a viable, commercially viable proposition to the customer, which Robinhood does. But so I wonder about something else, and you brought me onto this, which is in a world where inflation is going to erode pension income, where people are going to be forced to work for longer before they are going to be able to receive the state pension. One would think that the need to generate money from investments is going to increase. And so the attractiveness of any sort of trading platform is going to increase commensurately. And so you would come back to the very simple analysis. You will trade on the platform, which allows you to do this most cheaply. And so again, a reason for large companies to perhaps purchase an established technological platform.
I mean, I think so. And, you know, I think that various cultures around the world are at different stages in terms of their readiness of individuals to actually take an interest in stock markets and things. I mean, I do think that lockdown has tempted more people into it. And there may be some countries where people are more, you know, comfortable with doing things like this. I mean, I probably said on a podcast earlier this week about how when I was living in Japan, I mean, this is a while ago now, but, you know, you get the, you know, I mean, the fact that this was a while ago would suggest that, you know, it's got it's increased in momentum, but you know, you could walk down a high street in Tokyo and you'd be walking past even down where I was living in Tokyo, you know, you could walk past a branch of Nomura or Merrill Lynch, all these kinds of places. So you could go in and you'd be talking about your portfolio and what you wanted to do and that sort of thing. And that was years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that these days, obviously that may have come off the high shot, I don't know. But, you know, it might have come off that and more onto apps and things. So I can imagine that in some countries it is relatively a developed idea that people take care of themselves. But I do think, like in let's say the UK, for instance, where it seems to me that the state, there's less onus. So the state is trying to take the onus off themselves mm-hmm. to provide for people in their old age and trying to push that onto the individual. And if that is the case, you know, there's only so long that you can actually ignore it. And you might actually come to the conclusion, do you know what? I'm the best one to actually try to grow my own money because I'm the one who's interested in it the most, rather than some, you know, fund manager sitting somewhere and getting paid loads of money. Yeah. They don't care about me. I care about me. So I'm going to take it. So I'm going to do this myself. But that can be good and bad, you know, because I think...
No, it, of course. But I think you're right. I'm obviously German and British, mm-hmm. and from my German mindset, when I used to live in Germany, I can say that Germany is sort of like the anti-UK when it comes to the sentiment on whether to invest in the stock markets or not. The government provides a very healthy state pension for citizens, and so you can get away with not actually providing for your own retirement yourself. Mm-hmm. In the UK, I would argue that's never really quite been the case. I mean, if you look at the state pensions relative to German state pensions, they're much lower. And on top of that, there's sort of something intangible. There is mindset. The UK has always liked to invest in equity markets. That is why the UK equity market is rich and large and liquid and deep. It's the deepest market in Europe. Hence the fact that most IPOs go through London, even mm-hmm. now after Brexit. Yeah. And there is a question of mindset. And that's hard to pin down. Mm-hmm. And that mindset also exists in the US, for example. I think it exists in the Netherlands as well.
Yeah.
And it is these countries where the need to look after yourself financially through investments is going to fall on nurtured ground, so to speak, because you want to do this anyway as a customer. And I think in these kind of environments, these type of businesses are going to do very well indeed.
Right, yes.
But even so, even by extension, even in Germany, I think people are beginning to understand that they need to take care of their own financial future. Mm. And so it is precisely these type of markets which might be which are going to generate the growth in maybe the next decade.
Yeah.
The next which are future growth markets for these type of businesses. So I think absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there we go. Well, I think we'd better leave it there. But, a lot of food for thought there. Obviously, we're all going to have to go out and buy jumpers and thermal underwear and whilst investing in stocks that are going to go moonbound.
Indeed, but don't do it like me. Maybe just a final anecdote very quickly to amuse everybody. As you say, this can be a good thing or a bad thing if you take care of your own trading as a day trader.
Yeah.
I used to do this a little bit at work, and mm-hmm. I was betting on interest rates to go up, and mm-hmm. therefore I put a bet on that sterling is going to increase, appreciate against other currencies. Yeah. So I put the trade on, I went away, I went back to Bloomberg in red, BOE leaves interest rates where they are. And I was thinking, crap, this ain't good. So closing out my position, and it looked like, and it was just closing up my position, and I was making money. How can that be? Well, only because I was too stupid to put the forex trade on the right way around. I misread.
Right. Very
so, two
good.
Mistakes in that particular case. I got away with it, but that was actually the day, and this is not a joke, that was the day when I closed down all my accounts in the day trading platform, and I thought, this is not for me. So do better than me. If you are able to, it's going to be a good proposition.
absolutely. But it can get very distracting and all consuming. Yep. That's a thing to be very careful about.
Yes,
that's anyway, right. On that front, thank you very much indeed, Ralph. Always a pleasure. You know, we'll both be back again next week. So
yes,
thank you
when
very much.
I'll be wearing a shower cap.
Excellent. All right then.
Okay, lovely. Thanks Peter.
See
thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.